to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome, Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And no savvy, it was preseason Toronto Blue Jays baseball on our radio airwaves, but it's regular season Toronto Maple Leaf hockey and counting down to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I know before Saturday's game against the New York Rangers, you talked about, you know, some of these teams the Leafs are playing against that won't make the playoffs. How about coming up with a big night offensively? It didn't happen Saturday, but certainly tonight's game against the Florida Panthers right from the get-go.
Well, Gord, we talked about it at length, playing these bottom feeders. You want to come to the rink and have a huge hockey game, and that's what the Leafs have done today, tonight, sorry. And they need to keep doing this against the lower teams to feel confident. We talk about Mike Babcock says it all the time about feeling good about yourself moving forward, and I got a feeling right now, the way the Leafs are putting up some goals, especially in tonight's game, that they're feeling that way now, Gord.
Yeah, I don't know how many teams you've played on that, you know, weren't very good. I've been associated with a few, and I just earlier this year, Florida's played the Leafs well in a couple of games, but a game at Scotiabank Arena, they had Roberto Luongo pulled and James Reimer got a standing ovation, which was kind of neat coming in back in December. Boy, Sam Montembeault pulled after 261 seconds, gave up two goals and four shots. He's pulled 4 minutes, 1 second. Fastest chase in Maple Leaf history. So, I mean, right off the bat, the Maple Leafs get on the Florida Panthers 2-0. They get up with 3-0. They're up 4-1 after one period of play. A little surprised about a goaltender being pulled that quickly.
Well, yeah, you have to worry about him and it's his first start ever. You got to worry about his confidence, how he's feeling. And Bugner doesn't waste any time tonight giving him the yank because they play back to back. And the thought was that Luongo was going to be ready for tomorrow night's game. So the Leafs pile on the goals tonight. John Tavares has a huge night, Gord. And the Leafs just keep, I want to say, playing good, though. They played good last game, yeah, even though they lost 2-1. We both thought they had a decent game. They just ran into a hot goaltender that's done it twice to them, that being Georgiev. So with them having this outburst offensively, it's something they really needed.
Yeah, and you mentioned Montembeault, his first start against the Toronto Maple Leafs. It has been the year of young goaltenders, Thatcher Demko getting some starts, of course, in Vancouver, and Carter Hart and Jordan Binnington have been phenomenal in St. Louis. So we'll see. We'll talk a bit more about the Florida Panthers, you know, later on about looking ahead to the future there, because they got a lot of interesting decisions and, you know, possible free agents too. I don't know where, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky and Artemi Panarin, it seems like they are going to go to the same place. Panarin switched agents to pick up Bobrovsky's agents. Russians love Florida. A lot of people love Florida. Florida has the cap space if they're willing to spend the money. Again, I don't know. We'll wait till July 1st to see what happens, but that would be interesting.
And I know for a fact that the GM of this Florida Panthers,
Dale Tallon,
was looking to move even more money at the deadline, Gord. I know that because I deal with the same agency as Mike Hoffman, who's with Octagon, and he was asked to waive his no-trade clause. So there's another guy they were looking to get rid of just to make more cap room. You got to think something's going to happen. And another guy, too, Matt Duchene, I don't know if you looked at his ice time last night, Gord, 12 minutes
wow. In
a key game. So it looks like he's already fallen out of John Tortorella's good books, and he's in the Chateau Bow Wow, if you will. And they're really looking like they are. This team's going to blow up at the end of the year. Duchene, Panarin, Bobrovsky, Zingle. I don't know who else, but it looks like Columbus is going to have a lot of holes to fill next season.
Yeah, I mean, there's still the hope they can make the playoffs. They're in that, but right now it could be the double whammy for the Columbus Blue Jackets as we talk about a big win tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Florida Panthers and looking ahead possible free agent movements. And we mentioned, and certainly, you know, there's been no better free agent movement than John Tavares now coming to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that's only whomever gets Artemi Panarin, whether it's Florida or somebody else, or gets Sergei Bobrovsky, what they can hope. And tonight was the night that, you know, last week we gave them full marks. They had three real solid efforts, and if people that are Leaf detractors would say, well, wait a sec, you only got 3 out of 6 points. But you ran into three hot goaltenders in Pekka Rinne in Nashville, certainly in Carter Hutton in Buffalo, and then Georgiev was phenomenal for the New York Rangers. And this is just an example of what they weren't doing the previous week, Savvy. Keep at it, play your style, and the floodgates will open eventually, and they certainly did tonight against the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, and I think that was what Mike Babcock had to be preaching the last little while, is stick with the program, we stick with the system, and it's going to reward us. And we're seeing that in tonight's hockey game, Gord. They just keep piling on the goals here, and they've had a great night. And it was coming, though. We've seen it. They were all around it, and it's finally happening. And also, with Tavares, all these goals he scored tonight, Gord, he passes Marian Gaborik for the most goals by a player in his first team, in his first season with a new team as a UFA. So another thing for John Tavares, I mean, he's putting all kinds of records up statistically for himself, but again, he hits the record books in the NHL as well.
Well, there you go. Another nice one for John Tavares. And, you know, things got a little physical at the end there. It was nice seeing Ron Hainsey stick up for a teammate. I mean, these are little things. We're not talking big fights in that, but a lot of people wonder about the grit in that. You know the Boston Bruins all too well. We can now look ahead. It's one of the few series right now that are pretty well in the bag of any playoff series in the NHL, Leafs against the Boston Bruins. But again, as whether it's tonight's game against Florida or against the other teams, you want to get a lot of things. You want to get your lines going. You got to get whatever, but whatever little elements of grit are always a positive.
It's a huge thing, and we remember Ron Hainsey this year squaring off. He was in a paw-type mood, but we don't want to see that too often from Ron Hainsey, but he did come to his player's defense.
Well, especially not what you're demonstrating right there. That looked like a dog paddle. Jeez.
Well, he basically did have I would call it the stand-up dog paddle. My dog does it when he wants a ball, and I think that's kind of Hainsey's, where he's learned his fighting techniques from, but I'm not going to fool around with a guy that sticks up for his teammates. I mean, it's part of the game, Gordon. I can remember one time when I played, Sean Avery came to town. He was playing for the Dallas Stars along with Steve Ott. Gonk show. It was a crazy game. You can look it up on YouTube, and they were running around, the two of them, all night. We ended up, this is a game that pulled us all together. Sean Avery took a run at Milan Lucic, took his knees out on the wall, and I was his centerman. I jumped Sean Avery and just started pounding on him. Then when Luch got free, I handed Avery over to Luch and got out of there. Obviously, I didn't want anything to do with it, but it's just about that respect factor, bringing teams together. We end up winning that hockey game. And from that point on during the season, we really dominated. So it's something that not only does it, you're sticking up for your teammates, but it brings everybody closer together.
Now, I've never heard you talk about the game. Was that the game that Mike Modano called out Sean Avery as a teammate?
It was that game. And Mike Modano also said, this is a rodeo here. We got to get rid of this stuff. And everything kind of fell apart right there for the Dallas Stars that year.
Yeah. And they, that was after the lockout. They had Brett Hull too. And he was like, you know, not exactly in shape, and it just was going south. And that's when Sean Avery jumped the shark.
And if you listen to Sean Avery on his podcast with Whitney and Beast on, what's the podcast called? I'm missing it here for a second. Spit and Chicklets. Avery goes in depth about that playing that year on that team and how crazy it was, him and Ott running around chirping guys. But that Brett Hull story, I'll tell another quick story, and I think you've heard it, is he was sitting on the bench, and Sean Avery used to stand up at the end of the bench and chirp every single guy that went by. And no matter who you were, it didn't matter. He was pretty good with me. I don't know why. He liked me a little bit. But anyway, long story short, Joe Sakic was going by the bench one night, and Avery stood up to say anything, and Brett Hull grabbed him by the collar of the shirt and pulled him back to the seat, and he looked at him. He said, not to Joe Sakic. Anybody else, but not Joe Sakic. So a kind of a funny one. Brett just saying, like, you don't fool around with a guy like Joe Sakic. He has nothing bad to say about anybody else. Sit down and shut up.
You know, it's funny just that those kinds of things, and the game within a game about the respect factor and other things. And you told a great story what Joe Sakic said to you, first of all.
Yeah, and Joe Sakic actually said to my agent that when we were playing, I was getting a little chirpy myself and getting a little stick work after the whistles. I thought it was something, because that's what helped get me there. And I was always told by Adam Graves to do what got you there, bring it every night. And he actually said to my agent after, I think it was about a 97-point year, I had a 97 and a 96, but he said, you know, Mark doesn't need to do that stuff anymore. Can you tell him that for me? He's a great player in the league. He doesn't need to get involved in the stick work or chirping stuff. Just play your game and dominate, because I'm really excited to see how I've been really enjoying his season since he's been in Calgary. I've been watching him grow. So really nice words from Joe Sakic. And it actually did calm me down, Gordon. I mean, you had moments where you got a little riled up, but it did really bring me back to who I was and being that offensive catalyst that I could be.
I remember talking to Adam Foote once, and he was just chatting about it. It was about, and I don't mean this as disrespect to Eric Lindros, but just about the Scott Stevens hit on Eric Lindros way back when, which nowadays would be, you know, would be a full-blown federal crime, basically. But times have changed. But Adam said, his line was, You know something? I wonder if Scott Stevens would have done that to Joe Sakic or Steve Yzerman. You know, and it's not a knock against your case. It's more about the other guys that at some point there's an earned state of royalty, right?
I understand it fully, and if it's story time, which I'm enjoying tonight with you, and I always enjoy story time, there was an incident, and I knew Nathan Horton, and I didn't play with him in Oshawa, but he came through Oshawa, and I heard a lot of nice things about the guy, and I'm not even the biggest hitter, so I'm not coming out and saying that I would crush him, but there was an instant at center ice, and I respected him. He was a great player in Florida. He scored a lot of goals. We ended up trading for him in Boston. He always says to me when he came over, thanks for not ruining my career, but I had him at center ice, scored head down. I could have just ran him over, but I almost accepted him as almost a hug, if you will. I didn't finish the hit. He was in a vulnerable position, and it was a really, really ugly situation. But again, that's that respect factor. You know, you got to know when to hit a guy, and it's good to hit a guy. But when I head down like that, I just respected Nathan Horton, and it was just a situation where, like you're saying, depends who you are maybe in the league. You might take a run at a guy, but in that situation, I didn't.
Leafs Nation post game brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard talking about a Leaf victory tonight at Scotiabank Arena. Big one, lots of goals, and sharing some old stories about other things and about the respect component. And you know something, and that's the other part about the Leafs heading into the playoffs. We've heard whether it's the young guys, Auston Matthews taking charge on the ice like we've seen. Hainsey was referenced by Greg Milne on a Sportsnet game last week as in Buffalo, trying to implore the troops, get them going. John Tavares plays certain roles. Like, getting back on track, playing decent, cools all those embers about, oh my God, you got to name a captain right now. I think there's a very evolving leadership group that's got to be allowed to evolve and really has to find out how it evolves in the playoffs. I mean, that's going to be the litmus test.
It really does. But I would be shocked, Gord, if next year coming into the season there's no captain. That would piss me off and you and everybody else involved. But I think, like you said, it's an obvious leadership group. You know who's in it. You got it shaped for the future. But it's time to name somebody. And I think next year at the beginning of the year we'll see someone named. But again, back to tonight's game, I think that, you know, as much as they scored a lot of goals, there's going to be some video here about their defensive end and not helping Freddie out, right? You want Freddie feeling good. That's the biggest guy you want feeling good. I know the scorers feel good because they had a good night, but respect your goaltender, Gord. Play some good defense, and the Leafs are really sputtered in their own zone tonight.
Yeah, it's kind of like it got sloppy at the end of the game a little bit. It's almost like coaching kids hockey when you get the goals and you're trying to tell them, look, the zero, although the Leafs were not going to get a zero, but the zero on the one side matters more than getting whatever goal number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So a little bit of it's human nature, I take it. But you're right. Those but the other part too is, Savvy, it's been so long since there's been Friday night rec hockey at Scotiabank Arena. I know it's kind of a fun, boring night for the fans, but it's kind of a fun night. There's no mystique. There's no doubt about, you know.
Well, there's tons of times to celebrate, right?
Yeah.
You get to party. You get to buy more waters, right? And have a lot of, cheers with your friends and jump out of your seat. So let's be honest. The fans love goals. And that's why the game is changing and evolving to more goals. So I think, like you said, this is a great night for the Toronto fans to be able to celebrate. We've talked about this early in the year, how they had to sit on their hands, remember?
Yeah.
At home games. And this is one of those nights, Gord, that the fans appreciate.
I thought that, you know, a lot of games, and that's one thing that came up in, not that there's positives about that losing streak, but I just thought that was the kind of losing streak we expected, that they would lose games because they couldn't protect goals. You know what I mean? And early on, they were getting shut out or they weren't scoring, or even the start of the season, it was a little bit baffling that way. So, you know, that's the other part, that at least get them going, get everybody trying to get some. I mean, it would be nice if Nazem Kadri could get, you know, maybe the one guy, even Nylander, a little bit more on the board. And of course, we'll go over all the goals in tonight's game later on. We always love to hear about Joe Bowen's call about that. But yeah, I don't know. The kind of what we're talking about also maybe is a product, as a nature of just that kind of game it was tonight.
Exactly. And it's about getting everybody involved. And I hate going back to it because I do so often, but Mike Babcock, everybody feeling good about themselves, score, whether it's Nylander getting a couple apples tonight like he has, Tavares scoring all kinds of goals, and all Marner getting some points, Matthews. It's just everybody seems to be involved. But the one worry I have again tonight, they played so tight the last three games, haven't given up much, and all of a sudden you score seven. So what? You play slack on defense? It's obvious tonight again, though. They need Gardner. They need Dermott. They need their defense set here moving on against a Boston Bruins team that's just on an absolute roll.
Yeah, and like we said, a 7-5 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Florida Panthers. Welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. And we'll go over all the scoring later on, but we've alluded to the John Tavares hat trick, and he is tied now for the most goals for a player in his first season with the Leafs with Eddie Olczyk way back when, so he's got a whole lot of time to break that. Patrick Marleau got his 16th. Jake Muzzin gets his 9th. In the case of Tavares, his 42nd, 43rd, and 44th, and 45th, excuse me. He scored 4 goals tonight, excuse me. That's right. He's now set the record. I forgot. The
Marks. Can I welcome?
I know.
Can I give him the welcome or you're ruining it? Welcome. I'd like to welcome John Tavares to the 4-goal club alongside myself and Blake Wheeler. He's going to have all kinds of friends in that club.
That's it. The Mark Savard 4-goal club. See, when you said savvy, I keep forgetting the hat trick. It's a 4-goal game. And then at the end, Zach Hyman gets his 20th. What a year. So what? He's got 8 empty net goals. This wasn't tonight. 3 of the last 4 goals were scored by the Florida Panthers. So that makes the game appear a lot closer than it actually was. The 7-5 win over the Florida Panthers for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And your 4-goal game, the savvy 4-goal game was when?
We were in St. Louis. I was playing for the Calgary Flames. I don't know the exact year. We'd have to get Sam McKee to look that up sometime. Not tonight, though. He's been busy here working the lines. But I was against a good St. Louis Blues team in St. Louis, and I can remember telling Jerome again at the beginning of the game, Gordon, warm-ups, that, I don't have it tonight. I'm not feeling really good. I got no legs, so just bear with me. And I came out with 4 against a good team. Like, they had Al MacInnis, Chris Pronger, Roman Turk was in nets that night. He was in there for all 4, but we still lost 7-6. And
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. It was a -2 night. It was a fun 4-goal.
So, you scored 4 goals and you were -2.
Yeah,
I forgot about part
of it. It was a tough night defensively as well as offensively, kind of like what we're seeing tonight here in the Leafs game.
Well, at least at the end, the Leafs did win 7-5. But, you know, it's like that game. Leafs will play Ottawa this Saturday. And that game where John Tavares hit the 40-goal plateau for his first time, Morgan Rielly hit the 20-goal plateau for his first time. And those were the only 2 goals, and they lost to Ottawa. Yeah, and that kind of sucks, right? That it's still a hell of an accomplishment. And like yours, too, as time goes on, you bring it up, but nobody else will know that. It's neat. I mean, I actually, that's something else. We'll get our buddy Stevie Fell, and we'll look it up before the next show because we had the broadcast about how many players have scored 4 goals in an NHL game.
Yeah, get on, Stevie. I'm curious, too. It's probably a huge club, but it's still a pretty prestige one, I would say, wouldn't you?
I would say so. I would say so for sure. Huge club. Absolutely. I would absolutely say it's a huge but exclusive club that way. We will, of course, coming up tonight as well, we'll hear from Chris Johnson, our man. He'll talk about what's going on at the game tonight. Mike Babcock will hear from the Toronto Maple Leaf head coach as well, and many of the players involved in tonight's game. So you think, it's interesting, Babs probably will be a little bit hard on certain things. We've seen him, get pretty easy when they're losing. Do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. But he's been so positive. I don't know what type of night this will be for him in the dressing room. I obviously he's going to be happy with a win. He always says a win's a win, right? You take your wins. But I think looking at the defensive breakdowns on this team tonight, he'll have some video for sure tomorrow. And it won't be the goals they scored. It'll be the ones they gave up. And just trying to prep them for the playoffs and to get rid of these little mistakes that they're making or they made tonight. Because like we said, the last 3 games, Gordon, Nashville, Buffalo, and the Rangers, they didn't give up much. They didn't give up many chances. And they were able to win those games, one of those games, and they should have won 2 of them, the Nashville one and the New York one, if you ask me or you, but they just haven't. So tonight's a good night. They broke out offensively. They got some guys on the board that haven't been on the board in a while. And moving forward, it looks like they're going to be better offensively. But again, you got to cut down the mistakes defensively. And John Tavares, 76 games, 45 goals. He's now 2nd in the NHL. Only 3 behind Alex Ovechkin, who seems to be stuck on 48 right now.
Let's come on, Ovi. Everyone's cheering for him to get the 50 goals, and he's kind of stuck.
Yeah, I mean, we've been watching every night closely, especially on the out-of-town scores, which I'm sure we'll go through soon. There's a lot of games out of town, but he's one guy we've had our eye on, and he just hasn't been able to skip off that 48 yet. We're all hoping he hits 50 because in order to catch Gretzky, which everybody thinks he has an opportunity to do, You know, you think he would have had to get 55 this year the way he was going.
Yeah, a 7-5 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Florida Panthers. A fun night at Scotiabank Arena, which is what you like to see. And then it carries on Philadelphia, Ottawa. Next week, a couple of big games, though. It'll be interesting. We got the John Tavares visit again, which will be interesting. They go back for the second time. I got to think it'll lack the same bite, but anyway, it'll be there. The Islanders really not fighting for a playoff spot anymore, but they're fighting for positioning. Then the Tuesday, the Carolina Hurricanes, that's a huge game for them. And the Maple Leafs looking like they could finish on the Saturday, April 6th, against Montreal, and a game that can really matter for the Montreal Canadiens. We talked earlier about the welfare of the Columbus Blue Jackets. I mean, it really looks like Montreal and Columbus will be fighting for that final playoff spot. So I don't know. The word ironically gets misused too often, but I wonder if that's true irony, if the Montreal Canadiens' fate comes down to that game against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, it certainly might, and it looks all fingers are pointing in that direction that it will, but I don't think, I mean, we talk about Carolina. I don't think they have any worries the way they've been playing, Gord. They're moving on up, and it seems to be, like you said, a Columbus-Montreal battle, and who will get that last playoff spot. I kind of hope Montreal does. I really do. I didn't have them penciled. Gord, I had them with Ottawa this year at the basement.
Yeah.
And the season they put together, Marc Bergeron took a lot of heat this summer. Gord, I'm surprised he made it through the summer. I think you might be a little bit as well, too. And he pulls off some deals that you thought, oh, but they've paid off. They've all showed up. They've all had great seasons, the guys he picked up. Tatar, Domi, and Carey Price coming back to his own. So he's had some good situations work out there. I just think the Columbus story would be great for us, something to talk about until the playoffs do begin, about them not making it. And I don't wish that upon anybody. I'm not a John Tortorella fan. You might be, but I wouldn't want to be on his bench. I wouldn't get along with him. We'd be at it every night. So I want to see Montreal get in.
Well, you know what should have been there? That Florida team. I thought that Florida team, I mean, that's the one.
Beginning
that
of the season, yeah. Yeah. Now, Bob Boughner, is his job in jeopardy, you think?
I would think his job's in jeopardy, and that's not fair. But, you know, take a look, Savvy. I know Boogner's a friend of yours. Pete DeBoer coached them and got fired, you know, and like a lot of people do, got caught on New Jersey and now doing great in San Jose. So I just think, I think Bob Boughner is still respected for the great work he did with Windsor in the OHL. So I can see, you know, Chris Pronger is being groomed to be a general manager, and I can see Dale Tallon maybe moving up and Pronger coming there.
Oh, inside info?
Yeah, well, there we go. Yeah, a little inside perspective.
Okay.
But, you know, they got to try to become Tampa Bay. I don't know if they ever can because they're where they're located than that, but that Tampa Bay has been like a landmark, you know, like a top shelf franchise from top to bottom. And they just never have had that with the Florida Panthers.
No consistency.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been their biggest thing, right? When they came in the league, they had a couple runs in the Rats. Remember the Rats on the ice? And it was a great feeling in Florida. It was packed every night. And then they just kind of never found their footing again, Gord, since that day forward. And it's been a mess, if you will. And Dale Tallon, I every year he seems to, you think, well, look at these guys he's bringing in. This is going to work out well, and it never seems to pan out on the ice. But like you said, Tampa Bay's been a great story. I was around since the team came in the league, and I watched that team grow and move on and make great decisions and just a franchise that is really stable. Now, Steve Yzerman has just continued to do a great job with this, passing it on to
Julien Brisebois. He's still there as a consultant, but passing it on to his right-hand guy.
Because he seems like after his contract runs out, he might make a step, they're hearing, in another direction. But he's built this team, let's be honest. If they win the Stanley Cup, a lot of this, a lot of fingers will be pointed at Steve Yzerman as the guy that built this thing. So, moving forward, the Panthers really need to do something better at home.
Well, it's John Tavares' first four-goal game of his NHL career. The first star tonight, a 7-5 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Florida Panthers. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Like we mentioned earlier, there was Blue Jays exhibition baseball going on, but of course, we were following the Toronto Maple Leafs-Florida Panthers game and enjoying joining you and having you join us in Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 7-5 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Florida Panthers. We'll have the usual suspects coming up. Chris Johnston will join us from Scotiabank Arena. Hear from Mike Babcock. I know, Savvy, when you signed up, we talked about after the walk to the subway, we do the goals. There's not normally 12 goals. Can you handle it? Your stamina?
It's going to be tough, Gord, yeah. but I had lots of Gatorade today, drank a lot of water, and I'm ready.
Okay, it gets a little weird at the end. They really don't count so much, but what I liked early on, we'll talk about the Leafs striking early, striking first, and a guy that kind of needs a goal in the Savvy veteran.
Marinson turns the puck over. Brought in by McCaution with a pass in front of the net by Vetrano. That's intercepted, and the Leafs are wheeling back at center ice with Kapanen. A pass on the left wing. Marleau scores! A great feed from the right wing, and it is Patrick Marleau who snaps it home, and Kadri makes a terrific pass.
Couple things nice to see. Patrick Marleau is 16th of the year. Like to see him score. Like to see Nazem Kadri getting assists like he does with Kasperi Kapanen.
Yeah, I'd love to see this line kick in more often, Gord. This is one line in the playoffs that might end up being the difference maker if these guys are going to beat the Boston Bruins. And tonight, they played better. Kadri, exactly, with a great dish to Marleau. And Marleau's a guy, I don't know when's the last time he scored. It's been a while, Gord, yeah. So that's a big goal for him.
Well, coming up next, it's Muzzy. It's the first time he came, he got some big hits. You got some, actually, your buddies with the Golden Muzzy,
Muzzy
right?
Got lots of lovey early in his Leafs career.
Muzzy got lovey early in the Leafs career is absolutely right. Jake Muzzin got some goals early. He got two against Philadelphia in the comeback, and here he is, not unlikely, but he gets the second goal.
Muzzin will shoot it in. Johnson around the back of the goal, tried to one-hand it in front. That didn't work. Zaitsev down the board with Barkov. Gets it freed up. Pass comes back into the slot for Jake Muzzin. The drive scores! 2-0 Toronto, and Jake Muzzin hammers one in behind. And the Leafs are finding the net tonight.
Well, Jake Muzzin is ninth from Andreas Janssen, Nikita Zaitsev, the 4:21 mark, and you can tell that Bob Budner wasn't big on his goaltending because Sam Montembeau, who's played okay earlier but getting his first start against the Leafs, is pulled after 4 minutes 21 seconds after this goal.
Poor Sammy Montembeau. Can we call him Mont-Tremblant? It'd be easier.
That'd be good. Mont-Tremblant. Yeah, Sam Mont-Tremblant.
But anyways, yeah, he gets the early hook, and Muzzin gets on the board. But not only does Muzzin get him, Andreas Janssen's been a little quiet of late, so nice to see him pick up an assist. And the other guy gets a helper on that. You know who will be happy? Nikita Zaitsev's mother.
Yeah.
Will be really happy, and we'll be happy for her.
Yeah, she was pumped on the mom's trip. We like that and all that stuff. So her little boy, Nikita, gets the odd point that way. And, of course, so Muzzy gets some lovey. Is that your slogan?
Yeah, there we go.
But I was also saying the Golden Muzzy, that's your buddy, because you work with Nick Alberga for a little bit.
Me and Nicky go back a little bit of ways. We had a big run when you were away on the West Coast trip, and we haven't seen each other since, and it's been too long.
Well, I know you keep together in social media and that, so I'll pass that on to the Golden Muzzy. And we get now Johnny Toronto. He'd been kind of quiet. Well, he ain't going to be quiet now, and here's where it starts on the power play.
Down the boards comes Riley. Back on the wing it goes to Marner. Down low into the corner to Tavares. Centering pass comes back to the blue line. Matthews, left wing half board, banks it back to Marner. Marner at the point now. Took a shot. Backhanded in front of the net. Scores! Tavares sets up Kadri. 3-0 Toronto.
Yeah, well, Joe, it was not Kadri. John Tavares got it himself, his 42nd of the season on the power play from Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews.
Yes, he did. His 42nd of the year, as you mentioned, from Marner and Matthews. And a big goal put him up 3-0. And you thought, oh my goodness, it's going to be 10-0 this game. But it wasn't. The Florida Panthers got back in it a little bit, Gordon.
Yeah, here they come a little bit later.
Here's Harlech coming to center. And on the wing it comes. Matheson tries to send it in front. They score! A deflection in front of the net. Harlech going to the net. And the Panthers get one back.
Jace Harlech, his sixth of the year. Wow, that's a lot for him. Mike Hoffman, Aaron Ekblad get the assists. 13-23 mark. They're sort of adopting, just put something on net kind of thing, the Florida Panthers at that point.
Yeah, they did, and they just wanted to get something going after that miserable start they had, but they get one, Harluck, like you said, from Hoffman and Ekblad. And a quick story about Hoffman: his dad coaches the Waterloo Siskins, and my son got a letter the other day to go try out for the Waterloo Siskins next year if all OHL avenues don't work out right away.
That's in the USHL.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't. But
yeah, anyway, okay. That's in the USA. So your son is drawing all kinds. It's good. I know he's got the combine this weekend for the OHL, so we certainly wish the Savard family great on that. And a guy that aced the combine, of course, he was the known number one guy. I don't know if you did. Sorry, maybe you did.
I didn't have a combine. Oh. It was called the couch bind.
Okay, the couch bind. Well, John Tavares, he was the known number one overall pick back then, and he shows it tonight. Here he strikes again.
But it comes to the blue line, still not out. Good play here by Tavares to keep it in. Launches it into the near corner. Comes back to the point to Morgan Riley. Into the slot now for Hyman. Going to the back, and they score! Tavares set up by Hyman. It's 4-1.
There we go. John Tavares, his 43rd second of the game from Hyman and Nylander.
Not only did John Tavares play in the OHL for the Austria Generals where I played, he played a bit with the London Knights, but he also had special exemption or whatever because he played at 15, correct?
That's correct,
So that's another thing.
And that's the kid Shane Wright's got it this year as well.
This year, and he's going to Kingston. The Frontenacs have the first overall pick unless they make a trade. He looks like he's going to be a Kingston Frontenac. But again, John Tavares with his second of the night, his 43rd, from Hyman, like you said, who's having a great season, and old Willie Nylander sneaks on the list.
It's nice to see guys like Nylander get points in that. I want to see Nylander get a couple of goals in a game that, you know, was like 3-2 or something like that, and maybe he'll do that in the playoffs. I mean, that's what it can all be about as far as that goes. And, of course, you know, earlier the Tampa Bay Lightning coming back and beating the Boston Bruins. So the Leafs won't catch the Bruins, but it certainly showed the Bruins, who looked like they were going to win that game. Tampa Bay really shows they're the dominant team. Either way, there's going to be a lot of tough teams in the East.
There really is. And hold your horses. There's 52 seconds left in this game. We're watching it live, Gord. So just slow
down. My horses are fine here. Don't worry. My horses are fine. The other part there, it was 4-1 now for the Leafs. And we're going to go over the rest of the goals. But you know what? This game was so over.
It was over.
This game was so over, and the fans are sitting there. And it should be. If you're any kind of decent team, it should be. Late in the first period, though, Florida will come back at different times, make it a bit closer. And here is one of their D.
Played by Tavares around to the far boards in the lead zone. Hauerluck gets there first. Trocheck trying to come out of the corner, gets it back to the point. Trying to get the shot away. Matheson, they score! This was a rather innocent-looking shot, a wrist shot from the blue line.
Yeah, and we'll talk a bit about the guys not supporting Freddie Anderson at different times along the way. And this was, you know, maybe not the biggest one. Freddie would like it back, but fortunately, it's a game like tonight. Mike Matheson is eighth from Trocheck and Harluck.
Harluck had a good night for Florida, but like you said, it's one of those nights right now that you're saying to your team, don't cheat offensively, Gord. It's not the way to go. And it seems like the Leafs were cheating offensively. And yeah, they got 7 goals, but it looked ugly at the end of the day. But the fans had a great night, able to celebrate a ton.
Yeah, well, it's 4-2 at the end of the first period. And Johnny Toronto will strike again in the second.
Left wing side and a shot. Posse scores! John Tavares has the hat trick.
John Tavares is the only goal of the second period. 5:51 mark is 44th of the year for Morgan Riley and William Nylander.
It was a beauty. You felt this coming, that he was going to get a hat trick all night, and especially the way he started early. You thought after 3, he might get 4, Gord. We don't know yet. We'll let you know. But again, Riley having a great season, jumps in. And who sneaks on there again? Willie Nylander.
Willie Nylander, look at you with the suspense and the hook, wondering, even though the game was over a while ago, but what's going to happen? But we will.
Not everybody watched it, Gordon.
I know, that's true. Some people were listening to Blue Jay baseball that we had here, preseason baseball. But we are, of course, bringing it to them for the first time. So Savvy kind of said it's 5-2 after 2 periods of play. 1, 2, 3. We want 4.
Here's Marner now with a dandy little move, trying to play it in front for Musson. Oh, and he fanned on it completely. Muzzin with it at the point now. To Zaitsev. Pass in front of the net. Shot on goal. Tavares scores! Johnny Toronto with his first ever 4-goal game!
All the people had thrown their hats on after three, so I don't know what they do after four. Johnny Tavares' first four-goal game from Mitch Marner and Zach Hyman.
Yeah, after three, you knew there would be more, and then there was four. He broke down that door. I'm on fire.
Very good,
right
yeah.
Now. But anyway, no, I know, like you said, I welcome to that four-goal club. It's a prestige club, but Marner gets on the score sheet, too, with a nice helper, and so does Zach Hyman again. Zach Hyman, like you said, Gord, putting together a great season as well. And the big question will be, and I have a question for you quickly.
Yeah.
He has 45. How many Leafs have ever scored 50?
How many Leafs have scored 50? You've got Gary Lehman, Ricky Vive, Dave Andrejczyk. Those are the three.
Wow.
Those are the three with 50 goals.
There,
and it's been a long time. Frank Mahovlich scored 48. Yeah. Wow. It's been a long time since Dave Andrejczyk scored the 50 goals. Very good. Very good on you, with John Tavares scoring at this kind of clip. He might start passing. He's second in the NHL in goals right now.
Three back of Alexander Ovechkin, yeah. The grade eight.
Yeah, he is three back of Alexander Ovechkin. Well, it's over now, but it's not over. You know what I mean? Like, what is it?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like 6-2, right? 6-2. Anyway, let's play these Florida scores.
Mike Matheson shooting it back in. Barkov trying to get it onto the wing. Back for Barkov in front, and they score.
Yeah, it doesn't matter here. Jonathan Huberdeau from Barkov and Dadonov.
Next.
Yeah, next. Let's get the next Leaf one.
A long shot comes in front of the net for Marner. And the shot knocked the stick right out of the hands of goaltender Luongo. Here's a pass in now for Hyman, who scores! Number 20 on the season for Zach Hyman.
Yeah, it's pretty neat accomplishment. Zach Hyman's 20th of the year from Morgan Rielly and Mitch Marner.
Sokolov's rates just went up. Rates just went up. Hyman got 20. Anyway, a big night for Hyman as well. I think a three-point night. Rielly jumps in there again. Marner gets his third helper. And everybody's feeling good about themselves except poor Freddie back there. He got a couple late ones on him.
Yeah, we'll just play the next two without any comment. Why bother? This one's on the power play. It actually, Leafs were a little ticked off about it because they thought some liberties were taken. Ron Hainsey stuck up for a teammate, so they had the man disadvantage. Here's on the power play.
Back to Hoffman off a skate. Played into the corner for Barkov. Back to Hoffman. Hoffman, a centering pass. Dadonov into the slot. Walking in, Huberdeau scores. And it's 7-4.
Okay, keep it going. Jonathan Huberdeau makes it 7-4. Florida makes it a little bit closer.
And the Panthers get it ahead at center. Malgin to the line and in. Malgin trying to work into the slot, drops it back. Kowarluk with a shot that bounces in front. They score! Jace Kowarluk had a puck come off the end boards and bounce past Frederik Andersen, and now it is a 7-5 hockey game.
That was at 17:36, Jace Kowarluk for Malgin and McCaution. And then after that, you know what? Maybe because Zach Hyman got his 20th with the goaltender and we didn't pick him. I forgot to ask you who would score with the empty net. The Leafs looked like they had some chances that way, but they didn't get the empty net or they end up with a 7-5 win.
Yeah, Matthews had a look. Hyman even had another look, and even JT, so nothing went in, but again, a 7-5 win. It's a win, Babcock's going to say. I'd be interesting to hear what he has to say coming up because I don't think he's going to be too pleased because his team just kind of gave up on Freddie, and you never let to see your goalie get peppered like that, especially late in the game.
That's it, a 7-5 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Florida Panthers. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Just trying to connect with people down there at Scotiabank Arena, what went on tonight. I thought they'd be pretty quick coming out and chatting. I saw John Tavares chatting.
Well, maybe they left after it was 7-4.
It was, well, you're saying Babcock wasn't on the bench?
Well, not Babcock, but Chris Johnson might have took off at 7-4 and just called a cab. Right? But anyway, no. But Gord, like we talked about, this is a big game in the sense where guys, especially a John Tavares getting four goals. I mean, that's a spectacular feat. A guy that's came as advertised. He's done everything you could ever ask of a Maple Leaf this season. But everybody else, too. Nylander gets a couple helpers. Marner gets a couple helpers. Rielly gets a couple helpers. Hyman gets a couple points. Matthews just gets a helper. But everybody seems to be involved in the score sheet, and that's going to make you feel good about yourself. The only question you have is that guy behind you.
Well, the other part is just quickly about John Tavares is most goals by a center in a single season, he's tied it. Darryl Sittler. They had 45 each. And Sittler also had 43 in another season, and Eddie Olczyk had 42. And Eddie Olczyk was the guy his first year with the Toronto Maple Leafs. 42 goals was the most scored by a player.
And, so he's already crushed that.
He's beaten that. And back in the 80s, goals were a little more plentiful. So, you know, I got to give Johnny Tavares a few more notches that way. That's no disrespect to Eddie Olczyk, but it certainly
disrespect
shows.
Disrespect to the goalies of the old days.
Yeah, well, it's the style
stand
of play.
Stand up or poke check.
There that went on the way. I like the goal, some of the goalies of the old days. But, yeah, it was very, very different as far as that went on. And we will, of course, be connecting with our man Chris Johnston. He was down there at covering the game, of course, for Sportsnet. Sportsnet.ca and Hockey Night in Canada as the Toronto Maple Leafs 7-5 win over the Florida Panthers. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. And then after that, we'll hear from Mike Babcock. I saw John Tavares speaking. Wonder if Willie Nylander will speak. We'll ask Chris about that as well. Just
you don't think he has his skate cards on again? He's at the back door.
Yeah, the car's all started. His bags are packed.
I wonder if he comes to the game half dressed too, and gets there half hour early, before they start.
Just kind of thing gets dropped off by his parents, and that way
we're just having some fun with Willie.
Well, it's that kind of fun night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. As mentioned, a 7-5 win over the Florida Panthers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. We will hear from the head coach, and then we'll catch up with Chris Johnston as well. Of course, after every Leaf game, Mike Babcock, the head coach, chats with the media. And here he is after tonight's 7-5 win, Mike Babcock.
You reflect back to July 1st, that warm summer afternoon. John Tavares is introduced to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and here we are in... Do you have an idea of what he was all about tonight and just how he's been able to work in this market, just so effective, so consistent?
Yeah, I don't think we got that tonight, but, I mean, we've been able to watch and see the kind of human being he is and how he just gets about doing his business, and whether he plays good or bad, he just plays or comes and does the same professional, takes the same professional approach the next day. So he's a real good leader for us and obviously makes us a deeper team. We gave Matty the assignment of Barkov tonight. Normally we give it to John, and so that freed up John, and they had a good night offensively. I thought Matthew's line was outstanding. That was Willie's best game of the year.
How big was it for Marlowe to get the ball rolling on behalf of guys who've been looking for some goals?
Well, it's real important. And he had a breakaway as well, so it's just in general it's good to come out and score. You know, I thought we had lots of guys going tonight, and so it was a good night for our team.
Obviously a bigger goal in mind here than like the Cup, but some of these guys are chasing personal milestones. Can that be a good thing too?
Well, I think it's a huge thing. I think we try to be cognizant of it. You know, Hyman got his 20th here tonight. Real big deal. Patty Marleau now, I think he's, I don't know what number he is. Yeah, he's doing something good. So anyway, he's moving up the list, and you know, I think those guys, playoff time for guys like Patty is like the fountain of youth. And so he'll just get better and more energized as we go. It gets shorter.
Balls have been tougher for Marlowe this year. Have you ever been worried about that? Or just
not really is. I've seen lots of these guys were not very good in the regular season sometimes, but their time's coming.
What did you like about how the Matthews group handled the matchup tonight?
Well, they were above the puck. They were really good, like really good. Outstanding, dialed in right from the start to finish, and all three of them. I thought Muzz and Z and those three did an unreal job. For me, by far, that's the most positive sign we've had in a long time, because that gives you a chance knowing that John or him can play against anybody.
Is that why you changed it?
Yeah, that's what we did on purpose. We knew we were going to do this a couple times down the stretch, and we just told them this morning this was their job, and to look after, and it's nice it worked out that way.
What did you think of all the offense that you did have, but the third period, things got a little closer?
Well, the puck's going to scare your net. So we got to help Freddie. Help Freddie's got to help himself. We got to keep the puck up.
There we go. Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock after tonight's 7-5 win over the Florida Panthers. Chris Johnston, of course, our man from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. Hockey Night in Canada joining us from Scotiabank Arena. This looked like the Leafs, given how they played last week and running into hot goaltenders and that, if you keep at it, you should get a night like tonight.
Yeah, I would say so. And, you know, with all the shots they've had in these last few games, it's been hard to imagine they would be stymied too long. So, you know, we saw some good bounces tonight. Aaron Ekblad put one of those John Tavares goals in, obviously some rebounds and not so great goaltending early on from the Panthers. So this is the sort of game that doesn't surprise you, I guess, when the Leafs pull that out.
We were just wondering what it was like down there. We wondered if the fans were in it. This is one of those nights. I know it's not a pretty hockey game from a coach's standpoint. Even though you score seven, you let up five, you wish you would have played better defensively. But the fans really thrive in these type of nights when there's a lot of goals scored. Was it pretty loud down there?
I think fans like goals. I mean, at the end of the day, I know that it's not always the prettiest hockey. It's certainly not the way it's drawn up, but to see someone get a hat trick, or in this case, get a four-goal game, you know, that's the sort of thing that excites you, I think, if you're a Leafs fan.
There's not too many time you get, like, the fastest or something, a team record, but Sam Montembeault was pulled the quickest in Maple Leaf history, an opposing goaltender, pulled so quickly, two goals on four shots on net, just under 3 minutes he played. Were you a little surprised?
I was stunned. You know, I didn't like the Muzzin goal on him, although that was a pretty nice shot from Muzzin. But, you know, what it tells me is that the coaching staff of the Panthers wasn't probably comfortable with him to start the game. And, you know, I think a lot of the decision that was made there is because they play Montreal tomorrow. And they wanted to line Roberto Luongo up to play up that game because it could be his last game in Montreal. He's undecided about his future beyond the season. And so I just think that they must not have been comfortable with him right from the start. They see two goals go in the first 4 minutes and the quick hook.
As well, what, you know, speaking of Florida, what are you thinking, Artemi Panarin, Sergei Bobrovsky, that kind of talk as we look ahead? Because they've never really paid at the cap. And Savvy, you got something out there about knowing.
And they asked Mike Hoffman, because I'm through the same agency with Octagon, to waive his no-trade clause this year. And I think they were trying to make even more cap room, Chris. Do you think there's any possibility of them, well, obviously signing a couple free agents, big free agents?
Yeah, they want to have a big summer. I think the way that Vinny Viola, the owner of the team, is viewing it is that they have to find out if they can do it. They've seen other Sun Belt teams, whether it's Nashville, Vegas, the Carolina Hurricanes this year, really build excitement in their markets and sell a lot of tickets. And I think the Panthers really want to go all in to see what happens in that marketplace. You know, they've been in the playoffs twice in the last 18 years, and I don't think that's a recipe for success anywhere in this league, and especially in a place like Southern Florida. So, you know, with the cap room they were able to create, I think that they're positioned to definitely take a run at some of the big guys. And I think they have to prioritize Bobrovsky, to be honest. You know, I think goaltending's really undone them this season. Roberto Luongo was hurt early. James Reimer struggled. Michael Hutchinson struggled a little bit when he was there. And they just haven't got on track. So, to me, that's the position I would address. You know, obviously, if you can get a Panarin, that's something special, too. But they have some pretty good forwards, and, you know, they certainly have a great top line, you know, with Barkov in the middle. So, you know, they're going to be big spenders, and we'll see if they can convince those guys and, you know, maybe even try to get Joel Quenneville or something if they make a coaching change with Bob Bugner.
John Tavares, 45 goals on the season, three back of Alexander Ovechkin. What a story it would be if he could somehow catch him, because we know Ovi's been stuck on 48. And we've talked so much as he's came as advertised. And I think, Chris, at the end of the day, he's outdone what everybody even thought he could do here in Toronto.
Especially in year one, I think, Savvy, because there's so much that's unknown when you switch teams for the first time and sign that kind of contract, you know, really take over the market around July 1st and get a lot of attention and to come home and all that stuff. You know, when you combine everything, he's gone the whole season now with no more than two games without a point. No more than five games without a goal, and he's going to set a career best with points, and he's already there with goals. You know, he's still got an outside chance at 50, which hasn't been done by a Leaf in 25 years. So, you know, this is a special season. You know, I think we're getting an answer to the question of what John Tavares would do with line mates. Probably a reminder to the Islanders of 5 years ago, what they might have had, you know, had they been able to get some better players around them. But, you know, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, Zach Hyman, all three of them are having career seasons, and they've been together basically from the first day of training camp through now.
And, you know, we'll talk more. I wonder about the next game. The next game, I guess there'll still be some bite in the island, but it almost seems irrelevant now in many, many ways. So, but moving on from that. But here's a quirky little question, because it's one of those funny kind of nights, Chris. But we've wondered, you know, we play tape, and you generally interview those kinds of players that are available. John Tavares, every game. You know, certain guys, just every game. Auston Matthews, Morgan Riley, pretty well every game. William Nylander, do they just not ask for him much, or is he just not made himself available? Because he was a guy that, you know, post-game you get a decent amount, or is he just kind of ducking things?
No, I think it's more the PR staff not bringing him out. And to be honest, he hasn't had a lot of big games. You know, it's not to say he hasn't played well, but, you know, we haven't had him scoring four goals or even getting one and one too often and doing the sorts of things that see players typically brought out after a game. So I don't think he's ducking. You know, he spoke with us this morning after the morning skate and it has been available a fair amount. But, you know, I just think he hasn't put up the kind of points, you know, especially compared to his teammates that have had him in that much demand on a post-game scrum setting.
And the other thing is we were talking about this. It was one of those games that it was 7-4 and 7-5, and obviously Freddie, we don't like to see that late in the game, him getting lit up a bit. But at the end of the day, Mike Babcock always talks about guys feeling good about themselves, and it's really nice to see everybody kind of chip in and get reward and get on the score sheet, and it just makes you, exactly what Mike Babcock says, feel better about yourself moving forward.
Well, and I think especially savvy in light of the Nashville game, where they were shut out, and the game against the Rangers on the weekend where they had a ton of chances and shots and only scored the one goal. You know, it's a chance for some guys to you know, break their bubble a little bit. You know, even Patrick Marleau, he had one goal in 12 games coming in. The fact that he's able to score, we saw, you know, put a nice celebration on that for a guy who's been in the league as long as he has and scored as long as he has. And to me, that third line for the Leafs, with Marleau, Nazem Kadri, and Kasperi Kapanen is a real X factor in that series with the Bruins, just because they got so much in those top two lines. Obviously, a lot of Boston's defensive efforts will be put into shutting those guys down. And if the Leafs can get something out of Marleau and Kadri, especially at the end of the season where I think both haven't been up to their own levels in terms of production and what they've done, you know, I think that could be something that helps swing the series in Toronto's favor. So, you know, it's nice to see those guys that get on the board and get some chances and play well. And, you know, this is a night that even though 7-5, kind of ugly, lots of goals, I think most of the guys will be feeling good going home.
For all your great work this year, I'm going to give you a little bonus stat that you can tweet about yourself, because I take all of your notes and use them. So I'm going to give you something. Alexander Ovechkin is the first guy with the most hat tricks since 2009-2010 with 15. Number two is John Tavares with 10.
Oh, very nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Use that tonight, Chris.
There you go.
There you go. Well, it's funny. I saw some people saying he wasn't a goal scorer, that they're surprised by this. I'm like, did they all forget the 72 he scored in the OHL?
I know.
Or,
I know.
All the years with high 30s.
He's second behind one guy in Oshawa Generals all-time scoring. Do you know who that is?
Is that you? Oh,
yes,
baby. You were Eric Lindros.
It was me.
Yeah. But Savvy played 7 years there. I said he played till he was 24.
I was exceptional status. I got in there when I was 14. Was
well, exceptional as always, Chris. Thanks very much, pal. Appreciate it. We'll talk
to you
Wednesday.
Boys. Take care.
Chris Johnson joining us, of course, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada. And good on you. So how many goals did you score? Sorry, the record in all seriousness?
I think I'm around 420-some points. But to be honest, in all John's honesty, is that he was on his way because he played as that exceptional status. Yeah. I didn't. He got traded to the London Knights in his last season. So he might have caught me. He might have not. But all signs point to, yeah.
Saved a record because you got the Winnipeg Jets now coming after some of those Atlanta Thrasher records.
That Blake, is that Wheeler, done yet?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out. Well, it's done at Scotiabank Arena. It's a 7-5 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Florida Panthers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Of course, we will have the game Wednesday here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, against the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Philadelphia Flyers. Yeah, Mark Savard, Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Of course, our direct energy, hardest working Leaf player of the game is someone you have to pick. And I know, you know, it's the kind of game you don't really need to look at stats. It's one, you know, weird. When you're up 2-0 so early, you're up 4-1 after one period of play. Is it the obvious guy that gets the big one? Does it make it that easy?
Are you thinking of Magic Man?
The Magic Man was not who I was thinking
about. There's no way you can pull that out of the hat tonight. No way. With John Tavares, 4-goal night, just a huge night all round, Gord. And like we said, he's now 3 back of Alexander Ovechkin. And hang on a second. He just had a great night and a career night. It was his first 4-goal game.
Yep.
He has 10 hat tricks, second most since 2009, beside Alexander Ovechkin, who has 15. But what a great night. 5 shots on goal, so what a great shooting percentage. 18:56 of ice time. He had 4 hits. He had 4 hits tonight along the way. So a great night all around for number 91 of the blue and white, John Tavares.
Direct Energy Home Services' hardest working Leaf player of the game is John Tavares, and certainly some of the hits, he showed a little bit of grit at the end of the game there as well. So, you know what? After this kind of win, we're going to sit back and just enjoy hearing from some of the Maple Leaf players in very much a relaxed environment tonight. It's been a little pressure-packed at times, maybe not in the dressing room, but outside the dressing room with the fans and some of the media. So let's hear from the man with 4 goals, John Tavares.
Big night for you. I'll start, so with Patrick Marleau scoring 2:06, and how important was his goal for establishing tempo when things have been rather tough on home ice for you guys as of late?
Yeah, and I think just to get a big goal early, you know, we've had some better starts lately, but we really haven't, I think, obviously put any production on the board for it, and nice to get one early and kind of get the start that we did. And great for Patty, too. It was a hell of a shot, so great pass by Nas and a big goal to start us off. So, yeah, just kept rolling from there, obviously. Late in the game, you know, we got to tighten up. I mean, I think we got a couple tough calls against, and but in saying that, we obviously got to finish the job right to the end.
How about you tonight? How did that feel? Where did that come from? It seemed like everything was going in.
Yeah, just trying to play my game, and obviously with the type of players I'm playing with, Mitchie and Jaime, and the type of team we have, they make so many plays, and you just try to get yourself available. Obviously, being around the net on the power play a lot, just trying to get myself in good spots to find loose change, kind of get lost, and read off those other guys when pucks are getting to the net or when to kind of slide off and getting available, and just continue to work and get above the puck and you know, earn our chances that way. I think it's obviously nice to get rewarded like that. It's always a good feeling, but. You know, I think we still feel we can be a little better. Some of the opportunities that we gave up and eventually went in our net. So, all in all, obviously, I think mostly it was a good night, and we'll build on the good stuff.
Can you talk a little bit about how your line feeds off each other? I mean, Zach gets his 20th tonight. Mitch is up to 90 points. You have a career high in goals and are on the verge of a career high in points. Just the way that whole line is matched.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of trust in each other's game, and I think we just read off each other really well. I know just from the start of the year, it was just great, I think, how comfortable we felt with each other right away. And obviously, two tremendous players, a great skill set. So for me, it just made it that much easier for me in making the transition and stepping right in and not having to worry about do too much and just trying to be myself, play my game, and you know, try to work off those guys and continue to build chemistry. So. You know, as good as tonight was, we got to keep pushing forward and keep working and keep finding different ways to be productive and hard to play against and continue to be as good as we can be 200 feet.
I know you're here for the playoffs and what that's going to mean for this team, but do you get any degree of pleasure or pride out of setting career bests like you are and your line is?
Well, I think it's just try to work as hard as I can and continue to improve my game and. Just try to focus on the process of that and the commitment that you make on a daily basis to be consistent. And I don't think you try to worry about the numbers a whole lot. I think you just want to be productive and continue to get chances and obviously make a difference when that time comes. I think, obviously, I know counted on to for production and then put the puck in the back of the net. So I think it's just focusing one day at a time, continuing to get better and not being satisfied with where you're at and continue to find ways to get better. And like I said, I'm playing with tremendous players and have helped my game a ton.
Gord, I think you might agree the game got a little closer than it needed to be. What happened in the third period with you guys?
Well, I think we had some good shifts. I think we had some unfortunate calls against, and obviously we just need to tighten up a little better down the stretch and finish out the 60.
Someone has 50 goals, something into your mind at all, so hard to score in this league. You've kind of got it in your sights now.
Well, I think changing my mindset at this point probably isn't the right focus. I think just continue to like I said, focus on building your game on a daily basis and working with your linemates, and continue to try to be consistent and continue to find ways to get better. And obviously, if you get there, it would be great. It just means you're helping the team out and contributing consistently. So obviously, it's a significant number in our league and for many reasons. So if it happens, it happens. If not, just want to keep helping this team get wins.
What's it say about Hainsey coming in and kind of looking out for you there after you got that high hit?
Well, Ronnie's a huge influence, I think, not only on the ice and the role he plays in many situations that are key for us, but in the locker room and the kind of guy he is. It means a lot when you got guys sticking up for one another. I think it just shows the camaraderie and how much guys care about one another in here. And, he's a great teammate and a great player for us.
John Tavares talking about a big game. First four-goal game since Austin Matthews' first game of his NHL career when he scored four against the Ottawa Senators. Of course, he is pumped after the game tonight. And Mitch Marner has benefited from being on that line. As a matter of fact, it is the line that we'll hear from coming up. And another big night from Mitch Marner.
Try to get on to come here, and you heard he was coming. Did you ever expect it? I mean, his performance would be 45 goals, career high, four-goal game. I mean, does he just continue to surprise you?
Not really. I mean, going into the summer, knew the kind of player he was, knew what he could bring to this team, and he's had a great season for us so far, and it's been a lot of fun playing with him. And hopefully, it goes on for a while longer.
Is this a case tonight of the puck following great players that just intrinsically knows where it is going, and the player obviously knows where he has to be?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of those plays, right off the pad, and Johnny knows where to go. He's smart. He's played for a long time. He knows where to score the goals, and. He's done a great job of finding his way to the net and getting open and putting those in.
Were you looking for him anymore tonight, or just the way things were going?
No, not really. I mean, not trying to force anything. I heard him on that last rush, and he just got caught from behind. But, we wanted to play smart out there for the third, and I thought we did a good job of that.
They say, great players make those around them better. I mean, you're on a career high in points, Zach. 20 goals. Just talk a little bit about how that your line has matched over that and what John's meant to it.
Yeah, it's been great. Like I said, we knew what kind of player he was coming into the season, and I think he's filled all the expectations. He's done a great job in the locker room on the ice, and like I said, it's been a lot of fun playing with him, and hopefully it goes on for a while longer this season.
He was just that he probably could have been better tonight, like cleaned up some little things defensively. What does that say about kind of the way he pursues kind of getting better and what he brings?
Yeah, definitely could have been better defensively. he's an honest player. He always wants to be the best player out there, and that's something that you appreciate about him. But, he had a great night both ways, and like I said, he's a player that does it right. He knows where to go on the offensive side of the puck, and defensively he's in the right spot a lot of times as well, and he's got a very good hand, so he's able to pick those passes off and go the other way quick.
Look at 90 points for you on the season. What do you think has allowed you to be consistent or so consistent this season?
I think the team in general. Whoever you're on the ice with, you get instant chemistry with them. It's most of the time on the ice with the same guys, and they've been a big help this season, finding open ice for me and getting me the puck. And we've meshed quickly, I think, this season, which is nice, and it should be fun going forward.
As good as you guys were offensively tonight, what about the third period and team defense?
What happened there? Yeah, we gave up too many penalties. They got a lot of momentum from that, I think. Something we got to stop doing is getting ourselves in the penalty box. And, kind of talking about it going into the third, we got to be more, I think, offensive speaking and offensive minded. And but saying that, not turning over pucks at the blue line, we're getting it still in. And what made us successful in the first two periods is getting it behind them, getting the puck back in their zone, and cycling well and getting to the net. And I think in the third, we got a little bit off of that. We tried to get too fancy with it. like I said, we got in some penalty trouble. I let them kind of get back into the game, but these are all lessons we need to learn going forward.
There we go, Mitch Marner. And to wrap it up, as far as the trio goes, the three amigos, the line that's been the most productive line for the Maple Leafs all season long. Tonight they were certainly led by John Tavares' four goals. Zach Hyman, though, coming up with his 20th goal of the season. What a season for Zach Hyman. Here he is after scoring his 20th and the 7-5 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Florida Panthers.
Not exactly a playoff-type game, but do you think the team needed it to break out a couple of guys, get some goals, have some fun?
Yeah, it was a weird one, I think. But yeah, you know, a lot of goals. Obviously, we really like to keep a lot of those out of the net. But when you win, and you're happy at the end of the day, and it's good to build off of.
What's the difference in you this year in terms of your confidence scoring as opposed to where you were the first couple of years of your season?
Just working on my skills, working on my abilities, and then the more you play in the league, the more you get comfortable and have more patience when you have the puck, and combination of the two. But I put the work in to make sure that I try to push myself and help my line mates, and I'm fortunate to be playing with John and Mitch, and they're two great players to play with, obviously. So it's good to find chemistry with them.
So if Morgan gets to 50 assists tonight, you provide the perspective of the setup on your goal and how great it was to give you an opportunity to score your 20.
Yeah, Mo's been doing it all year. Such a key player for us, and to see him develop since I've been here has been pretty special. He's a two-way guy. He plays against their other team's top lines, and then he's able to produce, and he was able to find me alone in front, and sauced it over that guy's stick and gave me half a second to make a play. And you always know when Mo's on the ice. He's always skating, and I think that he just put it all together this year.
You talked about your line. What is it that makes it gel? I mean, you get to 20 goals. Mitch gets to 90 points. John's already set a career high in goals. He's about to get a career high in points. What is it about the three of you that just has seemed to gel all season?
I think we all complement each other. I think we tried in training camp just to learn. Anytime you play with new line mates, you try to find chemistry, and that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to figure out what each person does, and I think that we have good chemistry. We know everybody has their own role on the line, I think. And we know what each other's roles are, and we try to complement each other. And to see Mitchie hit 90 points, it's pretty special for sure. And John's got a career high in goals, so
it's good. How would you describe those roles?
Mo's, yeah. Don't worry, I got Mo's 50 assists. We just talked about you, Mo. we just talked about you. But sorry, what was the question?
How would you describe those roles?
I go get the puck or try to get the puck for them, and try to find one of the two. And Mitchie makes tons of plays. John makes tons of plays. John scores a ton. And I think that we work really well off each other on the cycle and getting pucks back and being hard to play against and working well in the D zone as well, breaking out fast.
There we go. The third member of the trio, Zach Hyman, with his 20th goal. And it is interesting. There's been so many great lines talked about around the National Hockey League and Colorado now, a few injuries that Rantanen and Landeskog a line has come back to earth. Certainly Calgary's had the great line as well. There's been Tampa Bay's kind of mixed a few together. So among the great lines in the NHL, you just have to put these three guys in John Tavares, Mitch Marner, and Zach Hyman for their consistency. Some of the games going on tonight, out-of-town scores, Pittsburgh Penguins 5-2 winners over the New York Rangers, and not necessarily a big game for Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh doesn't want to get too close to where the wild card is, and they're doing a good job of that of late, kind of just sticking to being third or second in their division. New Jersey beats Buffalo 3-1. Man, what a tough, tough finish for the Buffalo Sabres. The New Jersey Devils, not a fun season either. Tampa Bay Lightning came from behind for a 5-4 win over the Boston Bruins. Wow. Looking at the kind of rivals the Maple Leafs may be facing, nice show by Boston, but nice finish by Tampa Bay. St. Louis 3-1 over Vegas Golden Knights. And tough one, boy, for Bruce Boudreau and the Minnesota Wild. They lose at home 1-0 to the Nashville Predators. Winnipeg Jets lose to the Dallas Stars by a score of 5-2. So that is a big, big game. Big win for the Dallas Stars as well in that Western Conference playoffs. And yes, just looking back, local guy Jordan Binnington in goal against for the St. Louis Blues in that 3-1 win. over Vegas. Should also say Malcolm Subban was in goal on the other side, another local guy. He's been filling in for Marc-Andre Fleury. Next game will be Wednesday. We'll have the game, the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Philadelphia Flyers, but much more coming up on Leafs Nation postgame. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 7-5 win tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Florida Panthers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.